like the outdoors. I like being outside about as much as I can get out there. If I can spend all my day outside, that's going to be a good day for me. I was thinking this week about, you know, I walked outside one morning having coffee and was standing out there and listening around to all the different sounds that I could hear. We kind of live, Amy, I keep telling Amy we live in the country. She says, you don't live in the country, we live in the city. It feels like the country. There's woods around us, there's trees and stuff, and I can hear all of these sounds. I hear the crickets, I hear the cicadas, I hear the I hear all the different birds, I hear dogs, I hear cats, I hear trucks and vans and cars and people and all of this moving, all this stuff outside. And I realize that, you know, even when I go out into the woods and go on a hike way out in the woods, you are surrounded. I don't know if you've ever been camping, but you are surrounded by noise. You're surrounded by all of this, just a myriad of sounds that come in and sort of attack your hearing and your senses. And it's just, it can be a little overwhelming at times. I've had people when I've been camping say, how do you even sleep at night with all of this noise? It's a din of noise that comes up in that. The thing is, the more you're around that noise, you'll start to be able to distinguish between different sounds. You'll start to be able to hear, oh, well, that's obviously a dog and, you know, not a car, and that's a cricket and not a bird, and you can start to hear, and I know that sounds a little silly, but you can start to break those sounds apart. Those of you that live in the city or have lived in a big city, it's a similar thing. All of this assault of noise, but you're able to filter it. Able to sift through that and distinguish. I know that I've always really wanted to be, my parents are into this, into ornithology, into bird watching. And I've always wanted to be into that. I hear all of these birds and I can tell the difference between the different bird sounds. I can tell, well, when I say tell the difference, I know that one does not sound like the other. They don't blur together. I can hear that's one bird sound, this is another, and that's a distinguished bird sound. I can hear those things. The problem is, I don't exactly recognize which bird is which. I don't know what that is. I just know that I can hear it and I can distinguish it from the other ones, but I have no real recognition of it. I remember one time when we were young, I went camping with my family. We did this every, this is where all my love of this comes from. When I was a kid, we would go every summer for about 3 weeks and we would just go camping out of the back of our car up in Colorado. And we stayed in this one place up in the mountains, and we set up our tent and we decided to go hiking up to the top of this this little rise. And we got up there and we hear, coming from down in the valley, this really strong growl, and it comes again and again and again. And we keep hearing this. And we're little, I mean, I'm maybe 14, my sister's about 11. And my parents, my dad is gone. I mean, it's just my mom. My dad's off doing care, gathering wood or something. It's just my mom and us. And we hear this sound, and my dad finally comes back, and we say, we can't stay here. There's a bear running around, and we're telling everybody, there's a bear. And we're starting to get a little bit worried and a little bit nervous about this bear that we hear, because we're camped down in the valley, and we're up on the ridge, and we hear it down in the valley. And here it comes again, this sound running through. And we worry about this, and we finally go back down to the camp office, and we tell the guys there, we say, you've got to come and hear this. And so he comes outside. Now, this guy lives at this place. He and his family live at that camp. He walks outside, and he's less convinced than we are that it's a bear. I should say that up front. But he walks outside, and we say, now, you got to come up here to the ridge. So he walks up to the ridge, and he hears this sound. And we said, that's it. Do you hear it? You hear the bear? And he said, that's not a bear. Says it's the hawks as they ride down through the wind and their wings vibrate on the wind. And it creates that sound, that rushing of air sound. That's why you hear it and then you don't hear it as they soar back up again. And I realized that we were really focused and had our attention worried and distracted and all of this stuff put in the wrong place. But somebody who knew that sound, who didn't just distinguish it from other sounds, but knew what it was, who recognized it for what it was able to smooth out and clarify that situation for us. You see, that's what today is going to be about. There's a difference between hearing something and recognizing it. There's a difference between just hearing a sound and knowing what it is. There's also a difference between hearing, distinguishing, recognizing, and then next week we're going to be talking about actually listening. These are different things. So we're going to continue today with our calling of Samuel, with looking at the calling of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. So if you would turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. There we go. We're going to read through this again. We read through this last week, but I'll read this story one more time because I'm going to use several of the scriptures throughout it. Starting in verse 1, chapter 3, it says, "The boy Samuel served the Lord under Eli. In those days, the Lord did not speak directly to people very often, and there were very few visions. Eli's eyes were so weak that he was almost blind, and one night he was lying in bed. Samuel was also in bed in the Lord's house, where the ark of the agreement was, and God's lamp was still burning. And the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, 'I'm here.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'I'm here, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I didn't call you. Go back to bed.' So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord calls again, 'Samuel.' Samuel again went over to Eli. He said, 'I'm here, you called me.' And again, Eli said, 'I didn't call you. Go back to bed.' Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The Lord had not spoken directly to him yet. So the Lord called Samuel for the third time, and Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, 'I'm here, you called me.' And Eli realized that it was the Lord calling the boy. So he told Samuel, 'Go to bed. And if he calls you again, you say, "Speak, Lord, I'm your servant, and I'm listening." So Samuel went, and he lay down in bed. The Lord came, and he stood there, and he called as he had before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, I'm your servant, and I'm listening." The story starts off, we talked last week, about the idea that there weren't very many visions, that people didn't speak a lot, God didn't speak a lot directly to people in those days. But I notice Samuel's place in all of this is that when God speaks to him, do you notice that he is in a position to hear God's voice in a very clear way? At that time, God's Spirit does not dwell in the individual people. It dwells where? In the ark. In the Ark of the Covenant. The Spirit dwells there in the house, and it says that that is where Samuel is lying, in bed, in the Lord's house, where the Ark of the Agreement was. He has positioned himself to be in a place, even without realizing it, to hear clearly from God. We've talked about a lot in these past few weeks about how to position ourselves to hear clearly, how to avoid distractions or see through them at least, how to move ourselves back into getting a better clarity of a signal so that we're not hearing so much interference. And we talked last week about what we do when we don't always hear, because we can do all those things right and still not hear. See, the Word of God, though, once we're positioned, it may not always be quite what we're expecting. May not always sound exactly like what we think it might. And it might not always happen at the most convenient time. Let me kind of set this up a little bit. It starts off again with the fact that the word of the Lord in those days was rare. Okay. The second thing it says in verse 3 is that the lamp of God was still burning. Now, I wanted to look that up because I thought that was an odd thing for that to be mentioned in there if it didn't have any significance. And so I looked that up to find out what the significance is that the lamp was still burning. Apparently, the lamp was lit when it got dark, and it stayed lit until the first hours of the morning, until the first light of morning. It says here they're lying in bed and the lamp was still burning. This is obviously in the middle of the night. It's not always going to come at the most convenient time. And it's not always going to be the most obvious thing. Woken up out of a dead sleep, Samuel hears his name, and he jumps up and runs into Eli, and Eli wakes up Eli. Eli says, it's not me. Go back to bed. You must be dreaming. And this happens again and again. He says, no, you called me. He says, will you please go back to bed? Nobody's quite in the position to be, it's not the most obvious place, it's not the most comfortable place maybe for them to be hearing this. But finally, at the last time, he finally figures it out. He says, he lets him know that he's listening. You see, Samuel didn't have any trouble hearing from God. He just didn't recognize God. He didn't recognize his voice. He heard him loud and clear, right? All four times. But just didn't know what he was hearing. There are really these three stages that we're going to be working through. The difference between hearing, recognizing, and listening. And the problem for Samuel is revealed in verse 7. In this story, we get to a part where I feel like the writer needed a little bit of an explanation as to what was going on here. And so we get this tiny aside in the storyline in verse 7, where it says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The Lord had not spoken directly to him yet. You see, recognition that did not yet know the word of the Lord means did not yet recognize, didn't yet comprehend, didn't yet distinguish the word of the Lord. Didn't know it yet. Because why? Because God hadn't spoken to him directly yet. See, recognition requires two things. It requires repetition, and it requires guidance. Let me spread those out for a minute. Because you might recognize something, still not know what it is. When Jillian was, before she was even born, when we found out that Amy was pregnant, I remember one of my greatest joys in this that I loved was being able to talk to the baby while she was still in the womb. Before we knew, we didn't find out it was going to be a girl. We didn't know we were having a girl. We decided to be surprised. But I remember one of my greatest joys was laying in bed at night and putting my head down next to Amy's stomach and being able to talk and sing and speak to that baby, even though the baby couldn't respond. And when Jillian was born, Amy was in labor for, 18, 19 hours? Really long time. It was a terribly long time with Jillian. A lot of strain on the baby and on herself. And when Jillian was born, you know babies cry when they're born. This was a little bit above and beyond the call of duty on the crying front. And she was just inconsolable. And of course the doctors, they wanted to hold her and all of that, and they gave her to Amy. And I remember they finally said, we need to take her over and set her in the warmer. And so they take her over and they put her in the baby warmer. And I remember thinking, I'm going to go over and just talk to her. And so I go over and I get to talk to her. And I start to sing this song that I always used to sing to her when she was still in the womb. And I'm singing her this song. And she suddenly starts quieting down. She suddenly starts just calming. She turns her little head and looks. Even though she didn't know it, she recognized my voice. As she got older and she was able to hold her head up, we used to always play a game. We would play Where's Daddy? And I remember I would hide at one side and I'd say my name and her head would spin around and she'd find me over there. And we were just trying to work on head motion and recognizing these sounds. And it got to the point that even in a crowded room with lots of other people, people would come for visits, there'd be lots of people in the room, that if I spoke, or if Amy spoke, she would perk up and look. Even if lots of other people were talking, she could distinguish and recognize our voice. But she still needed to be told, that's Mommy, and I'm Daddy. And I'm doing that with William right now. He recognizes our voices, knows our faces, but somebody still has to say, that's who that is. This is Mama, and that's Daddy. As much as they recognize it, they still need to be told that. To associate the recognized sound with who it is that's making that sound. And that is just the way it is in the kingdom. It is just the way that God designed us. When God says, let the little children come to me, for the kingdom belongs to those such as these. When we are reborn, we reopen that place in our hearts that communicates with God, because we all have been spoken over by God before we were ever born. The whole earth knows His voice. The whole earth resounds with his words. It's been spoken over all of us before the day we were ever even conceived, before our parents were conceived. He spoke our names and knew us. And it's spoken over all of us. And there's that place, I spoke about it last week, that's just made to resonate with His voice, that resonates and recognizes that voice, that call of God, so that we can respond. We learn to recognize God's voice in the same way that the kids learn to recognize our voice as they're growing up. It's by spending time with Him, by being around Him, by letting Him speak to us, by listening. And the more we hear, the more time we spend, the more time that we give Him, the more saturated we are in that communication, the more we get to know His voice. So that even if we don't hear it for a while, we still recognize it. And we can hear it above all the other voices. We can hear it above all the other noise, all the other things in our lives. And just like that little baby turns their head to recognize, we too, in the middle of everything that's going on in our lives, can turn and say, that's God. Our hearts respond. I loved it. Beverly's story this morning, it was in my notes, and I'm not going to go through it as much because she already shared it, but that story of the road to Emmaus, where these disciples, they've heard Jesus, I don't know for how long, but let's assume it's for His whole 3-year ministry. They've been hearing Jesus speak. They've been hearing Him talk. They've heard His stories. They've been around Him. They know Him now. They recognize Him. They recognize the sound. And as they're walking down this road to Emmaus, He comes up and stands beside Him, and He doesn't look like Himself. And they don't recognize His look. They don't recognize it's not coming at a time when it makes sense in any way. He's supposed to be dead. They don't know who it is, but they say a phrase after they recognize later, weren't our hearts strangely warmed? In other words, didn't we recognize Him? Even though its circumstances weren't exactly what we thought, even though it didn't maybe make sense at that time, didn't we recognize Him? The Bible says it. The Bible says it this way in John chapter 10. John is teaching, or Jesus is teaching the people and the disciples. He's telling them a story about the sheep and the shepherd. I tell you the truth, He says, the person who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The one who guards the door opens it for him. I want you to hear these words here. This is verse 3, the second part. And the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. He calls out to his own sheep by their name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out all of his sheep, he goes ahead of them, and they follow him because they recognize his voice. They'll never follow a stranger. They'll run away because they don't know that voice. There's a few things I want to bring out of that. The thing that jumps out to me immediately, though, is there's more than one person that's trying to speak to the sheep. There's more than one person that wants to come in. It's just, again, that same thought of distraction, pulling away, temptation, all of the things that want to speak to us, that want to interfere with our communication. There's more than one person. He begins and ends the story by saying, the one who doesn't enter through the gate is a thief and a robber. And the sheep will not recognize his voice. But the sheep, we know God's voice. As we grow, as we spend more and more time, days, years, decades, knowing His voice, being near Him, being around Him, we grow more familiar, more able to filter all the other sounds around and hear through it to His voice, to sift out all the noises. Focus on that voice that matters. The one that's calling to us. The second thing I notice about that story is that he says he calls to his sheep. God is always calling out to you. Maybe through words. Maybe through actions. Maybe through someone else. Maybe through prayer or visions or dreams or something you read, but God is always reaching out to you. And He calls out to you, it says in verse 3, by name. It doesn't say He calls out generally, whoever is going to listen. It says He calls out by their name. Jesus knows your name. When you have given your life to Him, He knows you personally. He doesn't know you the way He knows anyone else. He knows you special. No one else in the world knows God the way that you know God. No one else is being called by God the way that you are being called by God. No one else hears from God the same way that you hear from God, because you were designed to hear His voice for you personally. We all are wired to hear God's voice. We're all wired to hear it, but we have to learn to recognize it, to distinguish it from the other sounds that we hear. We have to learn to recognize that voice. And once we recognize it, we can listen to it more clearly, to focus on it more intently. And so I want to ask you this morning, we have a lot of believers here who have spent years, decades, in relationship with God, hearing from God. And I think because we all have this unique experience, I would love to hear, what are some of the ways that you hear from God? What are some of the ways that God speaks to you? Because He may be wanting to speak something like that to somebody else that they haven't even thought about. Oh, God might speak to me through that. So take a second. Think about how God, just, it doesn't have to be every way. Maybe just in this last week, think about a way that God spoke to you. And I'll start us off. I know that for me, when I'm praying, there's a moment. It doesn't happen every single time. But there's a moment when I can tell the words that I'm getting ready to say, because I tend to pray out loud. I tend not to pray quietly. That's why I sit in my own little room by myself when I pray. But there's a moment when I can tell that the words I'm saying are not something that's coming from my own brain. That it's not something I would make up. And a lot of times I know that because it's not something I'm particularly comfortable or excited about getting to do the first time. But it's always something that's true. And I can tell, I can feel inside of me that that's true. There's just a point at which I know I'm praying from my mind and from the things that are on my heart, and all of a sudden it switches. And I realize that I am not saying words. I'm saying the words that God is speaking to me out loud. Sometimes it's things for the church, for my family, for me personally. But that's one way for me. Somebody else, if you don't mind sharing, I would be so curious to hear some of your own experiences and stories with God's voice to you. So God speaking to you through your through a feeling, through a peace that comes over. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So through life circumstances as well. Just little questions that pop up that have you kind of frame the things that are going on. Yeah, I hear that way too a lot. Wow. Wow. So overnight, God just is working when we're not even conscious of what He's doing. God's timing is perfect on that. Sometimes you can strive all week for something, and when it's His time to say it, you'll know what's being said.
Yeah. Prayer.
Yep. So. Yeah, it happens. And we go through those spells, and sometimes He's just teaching us patience, teaching us trusting faith. So God just calling you to have an expectant heart, but staying in constant communication so you're ready to keep it primed. That's good. What we're talking about through all of this is that idea of becoming more familiar. Just learning to recognize the voice of God, the hand of God in our lives, the lives of our children, the lives of our parents, the lives of those around us, to recognize what God's doing, where He's working, what He's speaking, to see those things. There's only one way we can do it, and it's to spend more and more and more time with them. Because I tell you the truth, just because a baby is born to a parent, if that parent is never around, if that parent is not speaking to that child is not going to recognize that parent's voice. It happens because of familiarity. It happens because they're around. God is constantly speaking. Are we putting ourselves in a place where we can hear Him? And are we doing it so often that we recognize, that we become familiar, that we know it, even when it's not convenient, even when it's not what we would like to maybe do, even when it's not what we expect at a time we don't expect, when it doesn't look the way we think it might? We know it because we know what God sounds like. We know what His word is like. We know what His actions are like in our lives. The second part of that story is that even though Samuel hears God clearly, even though he responds to God, somebody had to teach him. Somebody had to tell him, that's God. Go and say, speak, your servant is listening. That's why we must, as a people, as a church, as individuals, must be about discipleship. Teaching others to know that's God. Go and listen. Go and say, speak. Your servant is listening because God may be speaking to your friends, to your neighbors, to your children, to your parents, to your aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters right now. They may not know it. They may not recognize it. Part of our job is to make sure that they hear that voice clearly and know that voice. And they recognize who it is. You know, it's only by going outside and spending a lot of time in the woods that I can tell the difference between the different bird sounds. It's only by spending a lot of time in the trees that I can distinguish between the different types of the trees. Amy might ask me what those trees are, and I may not know. But I know that one's different from this one. But it's only by spending time that you get more familiar. And so I want to ask you to do two things this week. One of them is a practical thing to sort of just prove the point of all this. And the second one is something that we can do to work even more to become familiar. The first, I want to ask you, as you're out and about this week, maybe it's in the city, maybe it's in your work, maybe you'll be at the mall, maybe you'll be at the grocery store, or you'll be at your house, or wherever it is. And I want you to just, when God puts this on your mind to do it, I want you to just stand there and listen without filter to all the sounds around you. Just stand there. Don't try to filter out which ones are more important. Just listen to everything. And what you'll notice is that you will start to automatically filter some sounds out as being more background and some sounds as more foreground. We do it all day. And it becomes so natural that we don't even mean to. Do that in your life this week. That is what it's supposed to be like for our relationship with God, for our communication with God. So that the some things are just pushed into the background, that when God speaks, it is foreground speech. It is not middle ground, background, clouded amongst other things. It is clear, present, face to face. That's what it's supposed to be like. So the second part is that. Try to spend even more time this week in your quiet moments when God places it on your heart, just trying to recognize, to distinguish and notice that's God speaking there. And next week we're going to talk about what we do, how we listen, and why listening is not the same as just recognizing. So come back next week and we'll talk more about that. But let me pray for you. So, God, I pray that you would just move in a mighty way this week. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself in so many of the mundane things in our life that we would just recognize that your presence is always there. Lord, I pray that you'd reveal yourself as we're cooking dinner, as we're going out to the grocery store, as we're filling up our pumps with gas, everything we're doing. Would you reveal your presence, God? Would you just be a weight in our hearts and on our spirit? Would you just be on our tongues and in our mouths and in our eyes that we may see, hear, think, and ponder on the things of you this week? Lord, I pray that you'd be clear and present. Lord, I pray that those things that are a barrier between us and you, that's keeping you in the middle ground or maybe in the background, in different places, in different moments in our day or in our life, Lord, would you show those to be what they are and help us to see through those and past those and get to you. Help us to discard them. Lord, I pray that any chains that hold us back and any barriers and walls would be broken now in the power of your name. Lord Jesus, you are the master and defender. You're Lord of us. We give you all that we are, all that we have, Lord. May we just know how to give it to you. May your kingdom reign in our hearts and in our lives. May it be palpable to those people that we encounter. May they just know that they have just met with God, met with you through us. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would empower us to speak your truth in the everyday moments of our lives too. That we would speak it to our children, that we'd teach it to our friends, we'd speak it to our neighbors, we'd tell it to those who are hurting, who those are in pain, that we just have, you give us the strength to speak your truth into their lives. Lord God, I love you. We thank you for what you're doing in our own individual lives, in the church, little C and the big C church as well. Lord, we thank you for life. Would you just continue to take us deeper and deeper in our experience with you, God? Let us know new depths of relationship with you. Thank you, God, for your love and for your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.